Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Happy New Year! Happy New Year! You didn't know, did you? Labor Day marks the end of the summer season. Not the season of summer, that isn't over until October, but the summer season where it's appropriate to wear white belts and shoes and pants. Now, we are clearly still in the season of summer because it's been hot, not so much yesterday and today, but we've already passed into that time when the kids have returned to school and programs and activities that had taken a break are now resuming. So it's time for us to resume our normal activities, to start or restart some of the ministries and the programs here at the church, and for you to do the same in other parts of your lives. The football season has begun, as we heard during the first reading. New television shows are premiering and others are resuming for yet another season. It's time to get back to your regularly scheduled lives. No more just kicking back. It's time to begin or resume a new year of the lectionary, of the narrative lectionary. I know you've been anticipating this because for the last 13 weeks, we have enjoyed three different sermon series. Right after Pentecost, we had a sermon series on 1 John, and then we had a sermon series on 1 Peter, and last week we finished a sermon series on Ruth. And now that Labor Day has passed, we return to the narrative lectionary. If we've been doing the Revised Common Lectionary, they wouldn't start a new year until the beginning of the church year, or the church year, which begins at the beginning of Advent, which is typically the first Sunday after Thanksgiving, or maybe the second, depending on how the calendar falls. That's a weird time of the year to be starting a new year. Nothing begins then except maybe our Christmas shopping. So we begin the narrative lectionary at this time of the year when people are getting back to the things that they may have let slide over the summer, and they get back into the routines of dropping kids or grandkids off at school, attending soccer games and football games and the like. And it's preferable to begin the year at the beginning. So our reading this morning from the Old Testament came from the book of Genesis. And every year, the narrative lectionary begins in the book of Genesis, not always in the beginning of the book, but in the first book of the Bible. And throughout the fall, we will be reading and hearing preached some of the significant stories from the Old Testament. Not all of them, but this year, we're going to focus on some stories that really focus upon God's promises. And one of the goals of the narrative lectionary is to improve our understanding of the chronology that happens in the Old Testament, as well as to get to know some of the important people involved in the events that lead up to the birth of Jesus. Today, this year, we begin not at the beginning, but very near the beginning, or at a new beginning, when the earth was corrupt in God's sight. And it was filled with violence. It's appropriate that during that part of the reading, we had all that chaos going on, and we couldn't even hear Judy so much. But the earth was corrupt, and it was full of violence. There was mayhem, and we read that God saw that that was the case from Genesis chapter 6. Well, we haven't read that God saw the earth, that God saw God's creation, since the end of chapter 1, when God saw everything God had made, and indeed it was very good. But by chapter 6, it's not very good anymore. You see, after Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God's creation succumbed to the temptation of the serpent. The violence began with the murder of Abel by his brother Cain. And then it escalated throughout the generations until God finally said to Noah, "I have determined to make an end of all flesh. For the earth is filled with violence because of them. Now I am going to destroy the earth, them along with the earth." Now, these words of God sound harsh. And maybe they are, but they are just. They are just when we realize that the Hebrew word that is used to describe how the earth has become corrupt and violent is the same word that God uses when God says that God will destroy the earth. So essentially, God is saying, what you have already done to the earth, I am going to do to you. The punishment in this case matches the crime. So God allows the people's own propensity for violence to reach its logical end, which was that it ruined or destroyed the earth and all of its inhabitants. And then God did the same to them, except for that one family. Now, it's interesting to me that that Noah's Ark has been used to tell soft, fuzzy, warm stories to kids and two of every animals. And we paint the Ark in our kids' babies' rooms and as if this was a story of God's amazing love for all of God's creation. It becomes that, certainly. But if you weren't a part of Noah's family, if you weren't a part or one of the two of every animals that was selected, this is not a story that seems to have such a happy ending for you. So it's interesting to me that we name Christian preschools Noah's Ark. And maybe that's because we choose, and rightfully so, to focus upon the rainbow and the good news of God's love and grace, even amidst a time when there was judgment and there needed to be judgment upon the earth. You see, the ark is a sign of God's love for God's creation, but also a sign of God's desire for a new beginning. The flood acts as a recreation for the earth, a reboot, so to speak. Haven't you ever been asked that? Well, did you turn it off and on? At the beginning of chapter 9, we read that the waters have receded, Noah and his family and the animals have made their way out of the ark. And it is then that God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Those words sound familiar because God had said the same thing to Adam and Eve in Genesis 1:28, clearly demonstrating that this is a new creation, a restart, a new beginning in God's eyes for God's creation. And then in the midst of that, God gives God's first promise, or at least what's recorded as God's first promise or covenant in the Old Testament. God promises to never again cover the earth with water. But God had made a promise to Adam and Eve back in the garden. It's not referred to as a covenant. But God had made a promise. God said, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, death will come. And we know that death did come. And that was the beginning of what made God's creation violent. And God seeing the need for a new creation. Now, when I screw something up or when something I've made gets screwed up, I want to start over. Scrap it. Take that Etch-a-Sketch and just shake it. And God certainly could have shook the earth. But God didn't totally shake the earth and recreate out of nothing. God took part of what God had created. God took this man and his family and two of every animal, and God used what God had already created to recreate, to start something new, to redeem God's creation. God started over using this man and this woman. And at the end of 40 days, when Noah thought or hoped that the water was receding, you may not have noticed this in the reading because you were listening for the score. But we read that first Noah sent out a raven and sent it to fly to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Did you catch that? Did you realize that? Or were you like me? If you'd been asked that at trivia, I mean, so whenever it's like a Bible question, everybody looks at the pastor and you got to get it right. What was the first bird that Noah sent out of the ark, Pastor? Duh, a dove. Not so much. And that poor raven goes out first, flies around and comes back, and doesn't get to go out again. Apparently did it wrong. And then it's the dove. The dove goes out, and what happens? The dove goes out, and the first time the dove doesn't find dry land, but he gets to go back out again 7 days later. God works in mysterious and surprising ways. In this story that I thought I knew so well, I was surprised by the raven. I guess some of you are much more biblically literate than I, and we may not, maybe you should be preaching the narrative lectionary. A raven led them out of the ark. Not that dove that gets painted on pictures and in stained glass windows with a little bit of the olive branch, but a raven was the first to leave the ark, the first to look for freedom, the first to go out into the new creation, the recreation that God had established on God's earth. We become surprised by how God has and continues to interact with God's creation. Even amidst this story that we know quite well, we find surprises. A raven led them toward the new beginning of God's creation, and then it was a dove, and then it was the rest of the ark that followed. Friends, we're beginning a new ministry year here at Ascension. And we are doing things a little different than we have in the past. You might even say that it is unexpected, like a raven flying out of the ark first, that on a day like this, when we're kicking off our new ministry year, that we haven't ordered bounce houses. We haven't planned a lunch to sit around and gather together as we prepare for Sunday school to resume and other ministries to resume in the coming weeks. We aren't celebrating kickoff Sunday or rally day. No, this year we have changed our focus to service. Service. Loving our community, it ties in quite nicely with our mission statement, loving God, one another, and the community. And it also happens to tie in quite nicely with the ELCA's tradition of God's work, our hands, on this Sunday, being celebrated and participated with, or a lot of ELCA congregations are doing service projects this weekend. A number of us gathered yesterday at the Habitat for Humanity Restore Shop in Sacramento and helped out there. The Restore Shop is essentially a thrift store for building supplies and decorating items and other odds and ends that get donated there. The greater Sacramento area, Habitat for Humanity, raises over $1 million a year through that Restore Shop by the items that get donated to them that they sell to the public. They use that money to help pay for their overhead so that the dollars that are raised elsewhere can be put actually into building the homes that on average cost about $280,000 each to build. And the families that come to live in those homes put in 500 hours of sweat equity because they have more time, and they don't have a lot of time because many of them are working multiple jobs, but they have more time than money. And it's one of the ways that our community and this community is loving our neighbor, loving our community. Today, you already see we've begun to stack food here in front of the altar. We'll bring more up during the offering to replenish the shelves of our food closet here at Ascension. Another way that we are loving our community after worship today, we'll be assembling blessing bags. 1 gallon Ziploc bags full of items that those who don't have housing or have not very good housing and don't have access to the resources that most of us take for granted. Something we can hand to a person we encounter who we think might be in need with a few items that might make their day, not their week, not their month, but their day maybe a little better. We're also invite you to take a garbage bag when you leave today and some gloves and pick up litter around the church around your neighborhood, somewhere, sometime this week to demonstrate your love and care for the community in which you live and in which you worship. Also, today you'll have an opportunity to buy tickets to the Welka, our women's group's Italian dinner, October 1st. And those tickets are being sold, and that dinner is happening to raise money for the Welka Mission Project for the holidays, both for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Plenty of opportunities for you to participate in ways that demonstrate our love for our community. Our mission statement is three parts: loving God, loving one another, and loving the community. I think we're pretty darn good at the first two. And I think we've had a lot of practice at the first two. And I think we will continue to do those because it's really a part of who we are naturally as a congregation. We demonstrate our love for God by coming to worship, by attending Bible studies, and so forth. We show our love for one another by being gathered in worship, being gathered in service, being gathered for fellowship. I think we need a little more emphasis on loving our community, and it's our goal to provide some tangible ways for you to be able to do that, for us together to participate, to demonstrate our love for the community in which we find ourselves. Let us follow the raven out the ark. Let us follow the dove and become peacekeepers, bringing that which our community needs to them in ways and places that might even surprise them. And in the midst of that, I trust that God will show up and you'll be surprised at those encounters yourself. I hope you'll join us as we tweak our focus this year and try and expand our ministry profile to really include the community in which we live and that we have been graced with serving. Amen.